Well, awesome. Good morning, everybody. Just like Ben said, my name is Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central, and we were doing the baby or the kids dedication. I was just thinking about what does my name mean? And I asked my parents a while ago, what does my name mean? And Clayton just means a mound of dirt. That's my name. But I'm like, you know, it could be like a mound of clay that's being formed and shaped by the Lord. I don't know. Anyway, I could spiritualize it, but that's what it really means, just a mound of dirt. I don't know what your name means, but I'm glad that you guys are here. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, thank you. If you're watching online, thank you guys for being a part of today's service. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Nehemiah. We've been in Nehemiah starting last week. We're going to continue today. And speaking of giving your wife a chance to kind of get alone and get away, one of the things that we love to do in our family is to go on vacation, just to kind of get away. And one of our favorite places to go is in Colorado to an RV resort called Fun Valley. It's a big, massive RV resort, and it's kind of rustic. And once a week during the summer, they have a street dance. Anybody ever been a part of a street dance? I mean, street dance just kind of like, hey, get out, get your cowboy boots and your hat on and go out there and have a lot of fun. Man, we go out there, there'd be hundreds of people you have no idea who they are, you don't know them. But in that moment, you can be together with them and do like line dancing. And so, you know, you grab the person next to you and you start dancing. If you don't know the line dance at all, you're in a safe place because you can kind of watch and look at people in front of you and next to you and they'll help you. If you know how to line dance, you can kind of be the hero in your group and you're showing everybody how to dance. And it never fails. It always happens that at some point, everybody kind of stops dancing and takes a break and there'll be still music playing on. And I remember looking over, and there one time there's just like this middle-aged dude just like dancing by himself. I'm like, what in the world is this guy doing? I mean, don't you know we're supposed to take a break? And he's got his cowboy boots on. He's out there dancing. And I feel kind of sorry for him. Just kind of sad, kind of awkward. And I was thinking about, you know, he's kind of just kind of being a little bit of a weirdo. I mean, just kind of a lonely, like lone wolf weirdo guy. And you know, some of us, that's how we kind of live life. We kind of like to do things all by ourselves. We're just kind of independent people, and we live life that way. In fact, I have an uncle. He passed away many years ago, but he was kind of like that. He wanted to live life alone. In fact, he was a truck driver, and he didn't want to work for anybody, so he started his own trucking company, and it was called Lone Wolf Trucking. And it was just him, his little Pomeranian dog, seriously, and his truck. And he was just kind of on the road doing his own thing. If you're trying to make it in life all alone, you know what you are? You're just a lone wolf weirdo. Especially when it comes to how God has fashioned you and wired you. The way God created each one of us is not to be alone, but to be together with other people. Today, that's what we're going to be talking about. How community and relationships play a big part in your life, more than maybe you ever have realized. Last week we were talked about how we were all to find our purpose in this life. Nehemiah, in this Old Testament story, he was a guy who found his purpose. He realized that there was a problem that needed to be solved. His purpose was clear, and he goes and he tries to make a change in this world. And so last week we gave you an opportunity to take a shape assessment. If you don't know what your purpose is, like the way God's wired you, we have a free tool online to help you. In fact, that's what's in your seat right in front of you or around you. So I want to encourage you just to take this, put it in your Bible, put it in your pocket, and take it home with you and take this assessment sometime this week. Now, I'll warn you, it takes a while, okay? It's not a simple little thing, but I will say this, it will not be a waste of your time because it will help you to understand how God has fashioned you and created you for a specific purpose. And so take that with you, but let's continue with this message series we've been kind of going through about RESOL, finding our purpose. Let's pick up where we left off last week. So like I was saying, Nehemiah, he is this Hebrew guy not living in Jerusalem. He is off in Persia in captivity, and he hears about the problems going on in Jerusalem, that there was this wall that was torn down, and they were without safety and security. They were not together as a people, and he wanted to come back and make a change. And so he travels back to Jerusalem, and he meets up with this ragtag group of Hebrews as they toured the city. And look what happens in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. We read it last week, and I want to read it again to you. Here's what he says. He's talking to people and says, "You know very well what trouble we're in. Jerusalem, it lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. So let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." What he's saying is, hey, this is the problem. Let's solve it together. For 90 years, Jerusalem was in that shape. If you think about it, for 90 years, the people weren't just sitting on their hands. They were probably trying their best to rebuild. They weren't just sitting around. They were working and trying to rebuild different sections of the wall and different gates. But the reality is, what we see in this passage is that they were getting no traction. I mean, they were doing a lot of work, but nothing was helping. They were not getting anything done. And the reason, I believe, is because they were trying to do it all alone. You ever try to do something alone? You thought you could handle it, and you realize, I can't do this all by myself. I need help. That's what was going on with these people. They were trying to do things all alone, all by themselves. They had no group cohesion or unity. And what Nehemiah does in this passage is he gives them a better solution. In fact, it's in the very next verse, in verse 18. Let's read it together. Here's what he writes and says what happened. He says, "Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king." He says, here's the evidence, okay? And then he goes on and says, they replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. Like, there was this change in them of saying, hey, we need help, to, hey, let's go and do this. You see, Nehemiah offered them something that was so good that they were like, hey, let's drop everything and let's do this. Let's rebuild this wall. You want to know what that was? What it was solidarity. In fact, let me say this. Nehemiah, he offered them solidarity, and so does the church. What is solidarity? Solidarity is this idea of mutual support, where you're supporting one another. You have this bond of unity. What if everybody in Jerusalem had just kind of built their own little wall around their own home? Why didn't they do that? What would happen if all they did was just worry about themselves? I'm going to build a little security wall around my own home, around my own business. If everybody had done that, they would not have been able to rebuild this wall and protect all of the city like God had called them to. And that's kind of what it's like sometimes in this life when we say we're a part of a church, and yet we really have no real community. We have no real connection. We don't have this shared commitment with one another, this idea of solidarity together. What happens is, for a lot of people, let me just be kind of blunt today, is that we just show up to church, we sit down, we shut up, and then we see you later, right? That's kind of like the rhythm of our church life, is we just kind of show up and do those things, and we leave as if that experience is going to fulfill us. And the problem is that we are not having the community that God has called us to. You need community. The people of Jerusalem, they needed this solidarity, this community, and you do too. And solidarity can be found in a local church. And the question I have for us today is, which one? Now, this is not an infomercial about Central. It's us looking at Scripture and saying, what does it mean to have a healthy, community-focused church? The Bible doesn't say which church you should be a part of, but it does show you in this passage in Nehemiah, even in the Old Testament, it says, here is what the type of church you should be a part of, what type of community you should be a part of. Because see, what happens is Nehemiah, he offered the people, they didn't have this, but he offered them this biblical, God-ordained community that ended up blessing every single person. And so I have this question for us. Are we that kind of community? Like, is Central that kind of church? In fact, I want to offer you, based off of this passage, some qualities of a church that, you know, we probably should connect to. Quality of a church that that should be worth your time, something that you should be connected to. In fact, let me give you a couple of things that I see in Nehemiah's story here of a church that, a kind of church that you should be connected to. They'll be beneficial to you. Here's the first one. The church should be led by a Nehemiah, not a narcissist, okay? I'm gonna just put myself out there right here. I'm a work in progress, okay? Let me give you some examples of a church that's led by a narcissist, okay? If you go by a church and etched into the stone of the sign is the pastor's name, he's probably kind of narcissistic a little bit, okay? He's like, I'm here for the long haul. This church is about me. If you drive down the road and you see a pastor's name written on the church van, okay, you kind of know that they may be kind of a narcissist. Y'all going to see that now that I told you about it, okay? Or when a pastor is never wrong. You ever known a pastor is never wrong that can't say, man, I'm sorry, I messed up? Or a pastor that does it all, that he thinks that his way is the best way and he doesn't need anybody's help. In fact, he doesn't want to help other people to win. He wants to win himself. You ever known a pastor that just loves the spotlight more than serving other people? Yeah, I get it. There's lights on me right now, but man, I'll trade places with you any day, okay? Right? I mean, it's a tough place to be, but some pastors, they just love it so much. And what people of God need to do is they need to look for a Nehemiah-like kind of leader that has Nehemiah-like qualities. You could ask these questions like, is that person striving for humility? They may not be perfect, but are they striving for humility? Are they kingdom-focused? Or are they self-focused? Are they concerned about helping you fulfill God's purpose in your life? Or is it all about them? Here's what I've noticed about pastors and churches. I've been in pastoring for a long time, and here's what I know to be true. A pastor will always seek glory. That's what he'll do, either for God or for himself. That's what happens. And here's how you can spot the difference, real simple, okay? If you're a part of that church, you're either going to feel supported or used. And that's the way you'll know. At Central, one of our key focuses as a staff, as leaders here, is to be an Ephesians 4 kind of church. You ever read Ephesians 4 where it talks about leadership, church leadership? In fact, I want to read it to you. Here's what it says. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Leadership is a gift that not to be made much of ourselves, but it's a gift to the people. These are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Here is their responsibility. Their responsibility is not to be in charge and to get their way. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. In this passage, in this example here, we see Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the model for us of leaders supporting the people. And that's what we're trying to do at Central. We're not the best church. We're not the perfect church. But we're striving to be a church that you recognize that leadership here is for you or not for ourselves. We want to help you. We want to help you discover what God has called you to do. What is your purpose? And not just that, but to do this, to equip you so you can live out that purpose in your life. That was the quality we see in Nehemiah. That's how he acted. That was his leadership style. But there's another quality we see back in verse 18 of a church you should be connected to. Look what it says right here. Nehemiah says, then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me. Now that can, as you kind of initially look at it, it can be kind of like self-seeking a little bit. Like Nehemiah, I mean, he's talking about how great he is. He's kind of bragging a little bit. But really, if you think about what he's talking about, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about God's gracious hand. In fact, if you go back to the very beginning of Nehemiah, to chapter 1, Nehemiah hears about the problem, and then he prays. And what he's talking about here, he's saying, hey, remember the prayer that I prayed and what God did. If you read this prayer, you can kind of go back a couple pages and read this prayer. It's fascinating. This prayer is all about Nehemiah explaining or sharing and talking to God about how, God, you are amazing. You're awesome. We rely completely on you. God, if we're going to do this, you're going to have to move. It's all about your gracious hand. And we also see that Nehemiah he knew God's word. He doesn't directly quote scripture, but in that prayer, he is talking about all the different times, he's recounting history, all the different times that God had shown up in the Old Testament and provided for the people. Nehemiah knew God's word. Here's what I mean by this. For Nehemiah, it was all about him, not about Nehemiah the brand. Have you ever known an organization or a person that was all about themselves? It was all about promoting their brand. That's not how Nehemiah was. Nehemiah was all about God getting the glory. And people noticed it and said, hey, I want to be a part of that. And you need a church that's just like that. You need a church where Jesus is king, not the brand. Where Jesus is of utmost, not us promoting ourselves. And man, just in our culture, that's kind of countercultural. I mean, we in our culture, we want to promote ourselves. People do that with their own brand, and organizations, churches do that with their brand. It's natural for us to want to promote ourselves. But the truth is that we can't be king. Look, every one of us in the room is just a rotten sinner. And me too, okay? Every single person that's part of this church, we are messed up, but Jesus is not. He is king. In fact, that is the gospel, that you and I are sinners and we need a savior to fix what is broken, to fix the relationship that is broken between a holy God and a sinful us. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave and he stayed with his disciples and he was seen by over 500 people. And about 40 days later, he went back up to heaven and he is alive today. And so he is not someone who was a good guy that's dead from long ago. He is still king. He is the king. And here at Central, we want to make sure that people realize that it's not about us. It is about Jesus. We want to be a church where Jesus he's of utmost importance. He is supreme. He is worshiped. He is prayed to. He is read about in Scripture. Where the focus is on surrendering to his will, not to use him to make much of our brand. Not to make much about ourselves. You know, I said this, you know, several times to our staff and other people that we want to be a church where he is famous and we are forgotten. Can you say that about your life? I think it's really easy for us to want to be remembered for a really long time. But it takes a lot of surrendering. And just asking God for humility over and over again to say, you know what? At the end of my life, I want to be forgotten just as long as Jesus is made famous in my life. We want to be a church that's just like that. That's a great quality of a church to be connected to. But there is one more quality found in this back in this verse 18. Let me read it to you. So then I told them about the gracious hand of God that had been on me. And my conversation with the king. I'm not talking about Jesus in the conversation with Jesus as the king. I'm talking about the king of Persia. Back then, he was held captive. He was a slave of this king. And there's this fascinating part of Scripture where he goes and has this conversation with the king to try to ask for permission to be able to go back to Jerusalem. Now, if you read this story, we don't have time to read all of it, but if you go back and read it, he gets word of what's going on back in about November or December of that year. And I always thought that Nehemiah got this message from the people saying, hey, these messengers saying, hey, the wall is messed up. The Jerusalem needs to be helped. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to fix it. And then he has a prayer to God real quick. And then the next day he goes and has this conversation with the king. But if you actually read the story, he doesn't go to the king until the springtime, April or May. So between November, December, and April and May, about 4 months, he is waiting patiently and praying to God and asking God to move. He's also, during that time, he is preparing himself to have this conversation with the king so that he can move forward with this purpose that God had for him. And so in chapter 2, he goes and has this conversation with the king, and it's incredible. If you look deeply at this passage, what he does is I see some incredible thoughtful leadership of Nehemiah. He goes to the king and says, hey, let me cast this vision for you. Here's what the problem is. Here's the solution. I think you and I can be a part of that. And it's crazy. In the middle of that, he turns. The Bible, he's telling the story. He turns and he prays to God for wisdom and protection. He's like, God, I just talked to the king. I mean, the king could kill me at any second. And I'm just praying, God, give me wisdom. Then he turns back and he begins to talk to the king again. He says, hey, king, here's the plan. I have this plan. And then he asks the king for safety. He prepares for safety. He says, king, I know that there are people that are going to kill me if I try to go through the land. And so he asks for like a hall pass. Like, can I have this permission to get through? And so he has this pass to be able to get through the different lands. But also, if you read this in chapter 2, he says, king, can I have like this work order for all of this lumber? I'm about to go through this forest to get to Jerusalem. Can I have a whole bunch of lumber? Because if you've been to Jerusalem, there is no wood around there, okay? It's like desert. There's not any wood. He recognized that if he was going to go and rebuild the wall and all the gates, he needed supplies. It's fascinating. You think about what he asked the king for. He asked for protection. He also asked for provision. He was preparing himself and the people to be able to win. Nehemiah prepared. And the reason I tell you this, the reason I want to focus on this conversation with this king is because you think about a church that's worth connecting to, you need a church that's preparing for God's work, where preparation is a priority. Because when people are unprepared, especially when a church is unprepared, they don't get very far. Many years ago, our kids were little and we were heading out on a week-long vacation. You guys know how stressful it is to get ready for a vacation like that? Man, it's just, it's rough. I mean, you're trying not to forget anything. You're making sure your house is all squared away. Your animals are all squared away. And your work, you've been working overtime, trying to get some time so you can go on vacation. And you're getting everybody all packed into the car and everything. And we took off and we went about 10 miles down the road, and I had this gut feeling like we left the garage door open. I was like, ah. Oh. And you go, man, should we just wink? Should we chance it? It'd be all right. I don't want to turn around and go back. We're going to get out off our schedule. And Holly and I were like, man, we got to go back. So we did the lonely U-turn and turned around and went all the way back and drove up to our house, and the garage door was closed. It was perfect. We didn't need to do that at all. We're like, ah! But now we know we feel better. So we turn around and we head off again. And about 10 minutes later, we remembered that we forgot something. We forgot medication. Like, you need medication when you go on vacation. It's not like, we can go and get some more of that stuff. And so we're like, man. So we had to turn around and go all the way back. And by the time we did that, I mean, we were so far behind schedule. We were unprepared to leave. And we didn't get very far. And look, a church should be prepared for the work of God. If you're trying to figure out what church you should be a part of, and again, I'm not talking about just us, but when you're thinking about a church to be a part of, you need to be a part of a church that is prepared for God to move and for God to work. And the best way for a church to do that is to be like God. Look what it says in Proverbs here. Proverbs 3, verse 19, it says this: by wisdom the Lord founded the earth, and by understanding he created the heavens. So it's talking about when God moved and when God worked and when he did something amazing, you know what he did? He had wisdom and understanding in that. And when it comes to a church, we should be like God when it comes to us preparing for God to move and for God to work. We should not be a church that's just winging it. We should be a church that is focused on wisdom and understanding and trying to do things well and be prepared. So when it's like getting the umbrella out, right, ready for rain, saying, God, we're prepared for you to move. But we also have to do this with this kind of humility that's right down here, also in Proverbs. Here's what it says. It says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. What does that mean? Well, saying that you can prepare a horse all you want to be successful in battle, but at the end of the day, it's God who's doing it. When it comes to us as a church, when it comes to any church, we can prepare. When we come to the people of God, we can prepare and be ready for God to move. But at the end of the day, he is the one that gets the glory because he's the one that moves. So how does that look like at our church? I think about going on like mission trips. So we here in about a month, we're taking students, 20-something students and adults to Mexico. The logistics of taking a group, especially of minors, across the border to Mexico today, it's kind of crazy. And so what is the process for us as a church to do that? Well, what we do is we spend a lot of time behind the scenes praying and asking God, what are you calling us to do? Is this about just us in this room and we're just supposed to kind of do things here on this campus? Or is it about us going to our community? And maybe even beyond that, being the tip of the spear and going to places that need to hear about Jesus, especially to foreign lands. And we realize that is what God has called us to do. So how can we be successful in that? And so we've prayed and got that vision from God. And what we've been doing for months and months and months is preparing behind the scenes so that kids are safe. So everything works out so that we take barriers away so we can be used by God. Look, we take this seriously at Central. And the reason is not for us, it's so that you can win. And you working out your purpose and God showing that to you, we want you to be able to win by you using your gifts for God's glory. Here's kind of the summation of today's message, and it's this. Central's here to help. It's not about us. We do not want something from you. We want something for you. We are here to help you live out your purpose. We want to support you. So I was thinking about, what are some ways that I can kind of highlight as we end today? What are some ways we can think about how we can support you? Well, I don't know if you're part of a small group, but that is probably the biggest ministry we have at Central. We look at numbers, we have more people in worship than we do in small groups. Even though we have hundreds of people in small groups, there is a big gap there. And so I recognize there's a lot of people that come to church and that's all you're doing. You're not really in community. Look, you're not going to get real community sitting in these seats. You're not going to get real community just watching this online. You've got to be connected with people. That's how we get this idea of solidarity, of unity, and mutual support. In fact, that's how we care for one another, is through our small groups. We have a full-time staff member, and her job, her name's Deborah, and her job is to help you find your fit, okay? We are ready for you. All you gotta do is ask. We wanna help you and support you to find where God has you. Small groups is an incredible part of our church. Are you a part of one? I think about one massive part of our church that we support with a lot of finances and volunteering, and that's our kids and student ministries. Look, it's a madhouse over there right now, okay? I'm just telling you. Like, they're like, Clayton, can you hurry up, right? I mean, they're counting down. I got 2 minutes. I don't know how long I have. I'll take as long as I want. Okay, but it's crazy over there because there's tons of kids. And what is the purpose of our kids' ministry or our student ministry? It's not to babysit your kids. It's not to provide activities and fun place for your kids. It's to partner with you as parents to disciple your kids. We are here to support you and to help you. It's a huge benefit for your family. We've talked about missions. Now, like it's not just about here in these walls. It's not just about our local community, but it's to the ends of the earth. We want to help provide a space and a place for you to be able to do that. And so if you're like, hey, that is my gifting, that is my calling, like partner with us. Man, go. We have Ben's right there. You listened to this message twice, haven't you? Okay, yeah. Man, that's rough, man. I can't believe you're doing that. What a trooper. But we have incredible missions ministry at our church. We want to help you to be able to be on mission for the Lord. Maybe one of your passions is to grow as a disciple. Man, that's a hard thing to do all by yourself. We have all sorts of studies and groups. We have D groups where you partner with men, partner with men, and women partner with women, and they walk alongside each other for over a year. In fact, I got some of my D group people right around this room. Yeah, right in the back. Yeah, back row Baptist back there. Okay, good job, Dan. We're walking together, living life together, studying scripture together, and growing together. It's hard to do that all by yourself. We have a way for you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you want to work out your gifting. You take this shape assessment and you realize this is kind of how God has wired me. Now, what am I supposed to do with that? We have hundreds and hundreds of opportunities for you to serve. We can help you do that. Let me just say this to all the moms in this room, and I'll say this to women in general. You need women Women need other women to help and support you. We have an incredible women's ministry that has all sorts of activities and Bible studies and events and ways for you to live life with one another and like iron sharpening iron. If you're not a part of our women's ministry, ladies, you're missing out. That's an incredible resource that we have for you. Let me just say this for the women as well. We also have a men's ministry that will be great for your husband, okay? Or your son. Look, one of the best things that you can do for as a lady is to encourage your husband, encourage your son to be a part of the men's ministry. Because, look, men need other men. We need each other. We need deep relationships. I know that's kind of weird in our culture to say we don't need that, but we desperately need one another. We are creating opportunities. I'm not trying to just say much about our church because lots of churches do this. But look, if you are here at Central and you are connected here, whether you've been here for 30 years or you're a guest today, God has put you here for a purpose. And we want to help you live out that purpose. Here's my challenge to you. This summer, get connected. Whatever that looks like. Maybe it's something simple like you just say, I'd like to serve in this area. Or I want to be a part of this small group over here. You can try out small groups all day long until you find the best place for you. This summer, get connected somehow. Men's ministry, women's ministry. Get your kids in the youth and the kids ministry. All these opportunities for you to grow and to live out your purpose. If you go back to the story in Nehemiah, the people needed something. They were just building their own walls, and it wasn't working out. What the people needed is they needed servant leadership. Think about the church. They needed servant leadership. They needed support for one another, and they needed solidarity. And as they built, the story goes on, we'll read it in the next couple of weeks, as the walls are built, they needed each other because every single person had a little section of the wall. It's a brilliant strategy. They needed a little section of the wall. But if you build a section of the wall all by itself, it's going to fall over. What's amazing is they would build their sections and support one another with the other sections. And you need that. I need that. We all need to be able to support each other on our own walls. Central's here to help. We want to help you, to support you as you live out your purpose. Challenge you this summer. Get involved if you're not. God will bless you, I promise you. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for every person here by watching online right now. Lord, I know that it's tough. There's a lot of things we can be involved in. There's gazillion churches around here to be involved in. And Lord, if people are listening to this, whether in this room or not, and they want to be, they believe they're called to another church, man, I support them. I praise God for that because we're all a part of the big capital C church. It's not about us, God. But here at Central, we can focus on what you called us to do, on this community. So God, I pray that you would help us to live on mission together, to support one another, to live in solidarity together. Thank you so much for Nehemiah's example of what a great community can look like, where there's a vision, where Jesus is king, where the people are prepared to live out their purpose. God, help us to be just like that. God, keep us humble. May it never be about us, but only about you. And I pray, Lord, that your name would go past these walls into our community and beyond. God, use us to change the world for your glory. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room, anyone listening right now who isn't a part of that community because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. My prayer today, God, is that Holy Spirit, you would speak into their heart. You convict them of their sin and they would trust in you. They wouldn't try to earn their way to heaven. But they would surrender their life to you. and accept that free gift of salvation. They would believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins, God, and you would change their life. You would heal them. You would forgive them. And God, you'd give them a purpose. Lord, we do all of this for your glory. Help us, God, every day to make much of you, to live out our purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Central, we're so glad that you joined us today for Central Online. It's been a great time of worshiping our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God has been speaking to you about trusting Him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following Him. Well, we'd love to get to connect with you. You can text the word FORGIVEN to 94000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray. So just send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. Well, if this message has spoken to you today, why not take a second and share this with a friend or family member that might need to hear it? It's an exciting time to be part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. We'll see you next week.